Good morning. It's good to see each one of you here this morning. So glad that you've joined us this morning. I invite you to stand. We're going to begin this morning by declaring God's word together, Psalm 145. So I invite you to worship with this. It'll allow us to give praise to our God through reading the scripture this morning. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful works I will meditate. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts. And I will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness, and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your godly one shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men your mighty acts and the glory of the majesty of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations.
You are, it's who you are. are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us.
Amen. God, we thank you that we can come before you and we can honor you. We pray that you would be in charge of our time this morning, that Holy Spirit, you would speak to our hearts clearly. We thank you for all that you've given to us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I want to welcome you and welcome those that are watching online. We are so excited to be able to gather together again on this, the Lord's Day. We set it aside to for us to be able to honor him. And we have something that's very special. We actually have a couple of things that are very special. One of the things that we do as a church that we are that I'm so just proud of is the fact that we partner with our missionaries. We want to be involved in their lives, and they want to be involved with us, which is a good thing. They like us, I think, for the most part. And so they come and they keep visiting. And so we have with us a very special guest, Stefan and Satomi Sakamoto. They are here from Japan. And this morning, we're privileged because Stefan's going to bring the word this morning. He's going to actually do the teaching. So you guys that hear me all the time, you get a break. So that's good. We're going to pick up Daniel next week. Really? Okay. Thank you very much. But Stefan and Satomi, you can be seated if you want. You don't have to like stand the whole service. But they're here, though, and they are here on home assignment. They were actually here for family reasons. And while they were here, COVID hit, and the doors shut, like hard shut. And so we've been praying. First, we tried to pray to get them out of the country, back home, right? But God said, no, I want you here. So they're here on home assignment for a while, and so they get to have the opportunity to visit the churches that are supporting them. We are one of those churches. But also, we want to encourage you, particularly as the Lord puts it on your heart to support them. Out in the lobby, there are some information, some placards for their ministry, team ministry, also a place to sign up to support them both financially and through prayer. As we send out our missionaries and partner with them in ministry, they're out in the field for a long time. And so they need to know that they have those connections. So it's really important that they know that we're there for them and they're praying for us. It's a reciprocal relationship with that. So we want to encourage you to think about that. Let's go ahead and let's pray and ask the Lord's guidance to the rest of the service. God, I thank you. I thank you for the privilege of being here to be able to honor you. Lord, we have so much going on in our lives and so much to be blessed for. Father, I thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for our life, and that is to give you glory and to honor you in spirit and in truth. We ask that Holy Spirit, you would infuse yourself into our lives even now in such a way that we would overflow with joy and praise and worship and honor you in a manner that brings glory to the Holy God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
There is a King of glory. There is a God who saves. One who is strong and mighty. Freedom is in his name. Open the gates of heaven. Lift up a shout of praise. There is a lion roaring. Jesus, the King of glory. We taught you this song last week. Sing that with me. There is a King of glory. There is a King of glory. There is a God who saves. One who is strong and mighty. Freedom is in his name. Open the gates of heaven. Lift up a shout of praise. There is a lion roaring. Jesus, the King of glory. Oh, don't lose heart, oh my soul, oh my soul. Don't give up, there is hope, there is always hope. And there is peace in the
the storm, in the storm. No, don't forget, He is Lord, He is Lord of all.
There is a King of glory.
There is a King of glory. There is a God who saves. One who is strong and mighty. Freedom is in His name. Open the gates of heaven. Lift up a shout of praise. There is a lion roaring. Jesus, the King of glory. So lift your eyes. Standing on, standing on. There is one, only one, where my help comes from.
Let's all stand together and sing, there is a King of glory.
There is a King of glory. There is a God who saves. One who is strong and mighty. Freedom is in His name. Open the gates of heaven. Lift up a shout of praise. There is a lion roaring. Jesus, the King of glory. King of glory, there is a God who saves, one who is strong and mighty, freedom is in His name. Open the gates of heaven, lift up a shout of praise, there is a lion roaring, Jesus the King of glory. There is a lion roaring, Jesus the King of glory. At your name, the mountains shake and crumble. At your name, the oceans roar and tumble. At your name, angels will bow.
Shout your name, O Lord.
our God, we will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing, there is no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing, there's no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. Jesus, you are God. We will sing. Lord above the earth, we shout your name, shout your name. Filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name. Lord above the earth, we shout your name, shout your name. Filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise.
Your breath.
you graciously invite us into your presence. And no matter how much we give you of our lives this morning through song and praise, you are here, reminding us how much you love us. You're reminding us that we are precious to you. The great God, the creator of the universe, you hold us in your arms and remind us of what you've done in our lives, that you've taken all of the stuff we've done in the past, and you not only cover it, but you just completely destroyed it. And we stand in your presence, covered in your blood, in garments that are white as snow, in the righteousness of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we extol you this morning. We worship you. You are great. You are a good father. You are the Lion of Judah. And you roar into our lives and remind us of your greatness to us this morning. We love you. We thank you. Jesus, our Savior, Lord, soon and coming King, we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Your way me to open my Bible. Please open your Bibles to John chapter 2. I'll be reading and speaking from it shortly. I always like the hard copy, even though I have the digital one too. Thank you, Pastor, for leading worship. You disappeared quickly. It's always a privilege and a fearful thing to be in the house of God and to be given the privilege to speak from His Word. So let's start. No. No. Our 2-year-old granddaughter used to say this to us about 3 or 4 months ago. And I used to get upset when she used to say that to us, especially when I first heard her say it repeatedly. But then I realized she's 2 years old, and she has a limited vocabulary. And after some explaining and talking with her, I realized it wasn't so much defiance as much as what she really meant was, I don't agree with your decision, Grandpappy. And after some explanation, usually she would come around and be more pleasant. terrible twos. In today's passage, we clearly see disagreement among those present. In fact, disturbing behavior is actually recorded here in Scripture. What was going on? And why did these disturbing behaviors happen? Before we actually read that passage, I'll read from John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, because John tells us plainly his purpose for writing this gospel. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that by believing you may have life in His name. Disturbing behavior by this wireless. Okay. By signs, John refers directly here to the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the miracles in his book. But you know, all parts of John's gospel help us to know and to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that by believing we may have life in his name. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, the Savior, the one in whom God himself fulfills all of his promises from generations, hundreds and thousands of years back, to bring a new kingdom and a new way of living to us. The Son of God, Jesus, God himself came to this earth, to our dimension, as the person of Jesus Christ. Life in his name. Life that is radically different than the one that is around us, that we know, that can start now. I'd like to read now John chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. I won't be speaking through all of it, but this gives us some feeling of context. John chapter 2, verses 11 through 22. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and they stayed there a few days. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves, and money changers seated at their tables. And he made a scourge of cords and drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who were selling doves, he said, "Take these things away. Stop making my Father's house a house of business." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign do you show us as your authority for doing these things?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "It took 46 years to build this temple, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. So when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said this, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had spoken. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, you are good, and everything you do is good. And as we were led in worship a few minutes ago, every breath in our lungs is from you. You give us life, breath, and all things. Father, would you bring healing to us as we open and look at your word? Would you bring alignment? Would you bring freshness? This morning, help me speak as I ought, and help those listening hear what you want them to hear. Holy Spirit, would you pick us up and carry us along, because we desperately need you today. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 13, we'll start in our text, the Passover. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Passover. This time of year in Jerusalem opens up the context for us, for the setting of this incident of disturbing behavior in the temple. In Jesus' time, all Israelites, well, actually males, the men, were required to go up to Jerusalem to observe the Passover. It was usually in late March. It was one of three required celebrations, really, that they were required to go up to Jerusalem. Perhaps scholars think up to 100,000 people were there in Jerusalem and vicinity. We can imagine it being like a big family reunion, perhaps a national reunion of some kind. God knew the importance of meeting regularly together to worship and celebrate Him. Here today, we have our family reunion every Sunday. We have our spiritual family reunion. And you folks are blessed. You have a treasure here at Warren Community Fellowship. You do. From the time we started knowing you folks 20 years ago, you folks were very friendly and very open to us. And when we're on the mission field, it makes a difference. I was telling, I think, Troy, it makes a difference when we're there. I want to remember names, and I'm trying to. Forgive me if I forget a lot. When we came from the parking lot into the place over there where it's covered, we met Jason and we met Tim. And it makes a difference when you folks welcome us sincerely, warmly. And I wish we could take that with us, that openness, that friendliness. I think the genuine joy of Jesus in your life, I wish we could take that with us to Japan for church planting so people could see and know the life of Christ that transforms a person beyond themselves. As you know, Japan, you may or may not know, the average church size is about 23, 24 on every given Sunday. It might be this quadrant of people here, that or less. The churches are small, struggling, and they need a lot of prayer. The pastors are busy and overworked. And in a few years, there's going to be a shortage of healthy, vibrant pastors. We need to continue to pray that the gospel of Jesus Christ would continue to be proclaimed, that His people would live it out, and that something only the Holy Spirit can do, which is the power of the gospel proclaimed, lived out through His people in those who are listening, would transform their lives to something that they really, I think, are secretly wanting. Let's get back over to verse 13, the Passover. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. About 1,800 years earlier from Jesus' time, the Hebrews were slaves in cruel bondage under the strongest king and kingdom of the world, Egypt. And God miraculously rescued them out of that land. And God judged all those who did not believe what He said He would do. The defining act was this. God instructed the Hebrews to take an unblemished one-year-old lamb from the sheep or the goats, keep it, and then kill it. Take the blood, you know the story, and put it on the two doorposts of the entrance and over the lintel, that crossbar piece of their home. Then they were to cook and eat the Passover lamb, the meal prepared in the way God instructed. Those households, Hebrew and non-Hebrew, that believed God's word to them and did it, would be passed over. Death would pass over them. Those who did not believe, the household's firstborn male, human and animal, would die. Because of this Passover, the king of Egypt submitted to God's judgment and let the Hebrews leave Egypt. God's miraculous rescue of His people out of the land of Egypt had started. And the Passover meal was to be done every year so that the Hebrews and those, their generations after them that were rescued, would remember and celebrate God who miraculously rescued them. This instruction is recorded in the book of Exodus. In Exodus, there are three main themes that run through Exodus that affected their lives back then and also affect our lives even today. God's miraculous rescue of the people out of Egypt, also his presence in their midst, seen by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. Then also God speaking to his people, more specifically, giving of the instruction, the law that started with the Ten Commandments and many other instructions for appropriate everyday living for people who had been rescued by God. God's rescue, God's presence, and God speaking to his people. Important themes through the book of Exodus. God instructed his people to sacrifice a lamb for the Passover. So why do we read here about sellers of sheep and oxen and doves? Good question. Verse 14, and he found in the temple those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Many Jews, since they would be in Jerusalem for the Passover, would also have desired to worship God at the temple with required animal sacrifices. Oxen, sheep, and doves are mentioned here, and most in the book of Leviticus. And I believe these are mentioned as representative animals, but probably goats and pigeons were also being sold, because those were allowed in the book of Leviticus. One commentator describes the presence of those animals like this. It seems the temple officers, whose responsibility it was to take care of the temple, permitted a market of these animals and other things necessary for sacrifice to be kept in the court of the Gentiles, in order that the worshipers might be supplied with the animals used for worship and offering. John uses the word temple here in his text, which is used to indicate actually the whole temple building, including the court of Gentiles. And my wife found a slide of the temple, and that's a model of it. And actually, it's pretty big. When John uses the word temple, it's the word for the whole area. That's pretty big, because I tried to do some research to get a general idea of how big it is. They say at least 4 American football fields could fit within that area, which is pretty big. Something a little more real for us is probably none of us here could run the length from one end to the other of that temple in 60 seconds or less. It was about a quarter mile, so it was pretty, pretty big. And you could stuff a lot of animals in it. A lot of animals make a lot of noise, a lot of smells, a lot of distractions. Think about it. The loud voices of the sellers and the buyers seeking bargains. The noises of the animals disagreeing with their masters of the decision to be brought there for sacrifice. And the smells of the animals. You got that many animals, you're going to have consequences. That market surely would have displaced the area of set aside for families of worship, especially the court of the Gentiles. Was that disturbing behavior in the temple? Try to picture in your mind's eye the following activity. I'll be reading verses 15 and 16. And he, Jesus, made a scourge of cords and drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen. And he poured out the coins of the money chambers and overturned their tables. And to those who were selling the doves, he said, take these things away. Stop making my Father's house a house of business. How do you preach this in America. How should I preach this in Japan? Quiet and gentle people. Having their animals powerfully driven out was disturbing enough. Perhaps maybe more disturbing to the owners was how would they ever find their animals lost in the crowded streets and alleys, marketways of a crowded Jerusalem during Passover? How would they find their coins scattered on those two big open courts? I have a little bit experience about scattered things. One summer, while I was in college, I did a summer project for Campus Crusade for Christ. It's called Crew Now. We lived in Westwood, Los Angeles, and we all found jobs in West Los Angeles. I got a job at the Westside Los Angeles YMCA as a summer day leader. Every day, kids would come and we'd have activities for them. I was responsible for every day about 11 third and fourth graders. And we would go to parks in the area, beaches. Every other week, we'd go to big beaches, Santa Monica, Venice Beach. And alternating weeks, we'd go to big parks, Knott's Berry Farm and Disneyland. And we had to be, we were told very firmly, we had to be very careful when we take our kids to the park, because at that time, kidnapping was a big thing. Kidnapping children in those huge amusement parks. So they made us scared, and so we had to watch our kids. 11 third graders, when you're going through a huge, crowded Disneyland during summer, it was really fun, but somehow God gave me the ability to quickly spot almost immediately where my 11 third graders were. I could notice their heads, their faces, and their voices almost immediately. I had a high school helper with me, but that day at Disneyland, days at Knott's Berry Farm, days at wide Santa Monica Park, somehow God gave me the ability to scan and spot those kids, even among the crowds and crowds of visitors. In the same way that I could quickly spot and find my kids at Disneyland, I think the sellers of the animals would be able to find and identify their scattered animals outside the temple area. And as far as the money changers, I really think theirs was a money business, and they knew how much money they ought to have, and I really think they could have found their coins. Again, was this disturbing behavior in the temple, the market, the emporium, which is actually the word? Apparently, this activity was very disturbing to Jesus. Jesus definitely did not agree with their decisions and actions. The activity of doing business there at that specific location was disturbing to Jesus. But don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with doing business itself done ethically. Sometimes I say ethnically, because we're missionaries and I think about race and ethic and culture all the time. There's nothing done wrong with doing business itself done ethically in a God-honoring way. But here, it was location and occasion that I believe disturbed Jesus. Notice Jesus' words. Take these things away. Stop making my Father's house a house of business. That word is emporium, where we get our word market, marketplace. Why Why did the temple even end up this way? Why did those responsible for the temple allow this to happen? Why did those sellers participate in this activity? We're not really sure, but perhaps their fear and reverence for the Lord and his house, his household, had gone cold. Perhaps the joy to remember and celebrate God and his miraculous rescue of them was replaced by the deceitfulness of riches. Take these things away. Stop making my Father's house a house of business. Was Jesus the only one who dared to even say this? The use of Jesus' house, of Jesus' word house here, is very important. House means house, dwelling. It can also mean household, an extended family. As the extended family of God here at Warren Community Fellowship, perhaps we should regularly ask ourselves those questions. Has our fear and reverence for the Lord and his household gone cold? And has the joy to remember and celebrate God and his rescue of us been replaced by the deceitfulness of riches? Are there changes we need to make? What are those changes? And I don't know the particulars and the details of this body, so I want to say, ask those questions with humility and sincerity. But that's a lesson we get from this passage. So I think it has value to ask ourselves today. The purpose of the Passover: remember and celebrate God who miraculously rescued you. Jesus didn't want that worship gathering of God's family, which included location, to become a gathering for doing business. It was just not appropriate for that time and place. And Jesus behaved in a disturbing manner. Part two of this passage actually is the responses to Jesus' behavior. But that's another message. And another note here. 3 years later, if you recall, there's another temple cleansing in the Synoptic Gospels. All three of them record that just before his crucifixion. Jesus again clears out the temple. And Jesus' words of rebuke are slightly different there because his focus is a little different for that time. And that is another important message. Remember and celebrate God who miraculously rescued you. The last part of our time together, I would like to lead us in some moments of gentle worship, to take some time to remember and celebrate God who rescued us. So as you're sitting there, if you're comfortable, sit quietly and take your left hand, extend both hands open in front of you, and place your left hand on your left knee. Leave it there open, and take your right hand, open right hand, and place it on your right knee, your right lap. As you're comfortable, close your eyes. Take a few seconds to remember specific events or times of God's miraculous rescue of you personally. His physical rescue of you. His emotional rescue of you. His rescue of you from a difficult interpersonal relationship, of a trying financial situation, of his rescue his spiritual rescue of you from hopelessness, meaningless, and darkness and despair. His spiritual rescue. Take some time to remember a specific event or time. Perhaps very recently, God rescued you. Perhaps there was a life-defining rescue by God. Carefully remember God's rescue of you. And place that memory, those memories, in your open left hand. Keeping that left hand open and relaxed. Let's do this a second time. But remember God's rescue of you as a church body. Our faith is a corporate faith. We walk through this life. We enter kingdom life together. Remember God's rescue of you as a church family, or part of you as a church family. His emotional rescue of you. His spiritual rescue of you. His physical rescue of you or someone in your body. And leave that there in your open left hand. Now take a few seconds in your right hand. The right hand, take a few seconds to plan and to imagine how you might celebrate God, the one who rescues, with his house. How might you celebrate with his household? We celebrate together. Think of a plan and also a time how you might celebrate with his household, the body here, or parts of you. Where would you celebrate God together? How would you celebrate God together? When could you celebrate God together? Now let's offer these thoughts of our lives to God as an act of worship to him. We remember you, Father, and celebrate you, Father, who miraculously rescued us, who miraculously rescues us and will rescue us for your glory and your kingdom. Thank you for your love for us, for sending Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, that we might have life in his name. And in his name we pray. Amen.
So Tommy, if I can have some of the elders come up. We thank you for the words that the Lord has given to you, and to be able to cause us to pause and reflect of who we are and why we're here. We're here as a family of God to be able to gather and to pray and to worship. And the partnership of ministry is so, so important. So I'm going to ask that that you all would stand. And by extension, we're going to lay hands on Stefan and Satomi and their ministry. How's this one? You got it? Nope. There we go. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's lay hands and we'll pray over them. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the ministry, both of Stefan and Satomi, and the ministry that they've afforded to us this morning in bringing your word. Father, we pause and we thank you. Everything that we have is a gift from you, including the breath we just took. And Lord, if you're gracious to give us another. Father, we gather as people that are called by your name, and we partner in ministry with our missionaries. But for Stefan and Satomi, we especially ask blessing upon them as they continue to meet with their partners here in the States. And as they go back, we pray that they would return with great zeal. We pray, Father, that you give to them great provision. And then, Father, that you would allow them to have a great time with their family here, but knowing that you've called them to a different part of the world to take that gospel out. May they go out in the name of Jesus under the authority and the power of the Holy Spirit to effect change, to bring glory and honor to you. And until that day that you call us all to be home with you, may we be about your business. We thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. We want to thank you all for joining us. This concludes our service. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you, be gracious to you, and may you go in his peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us in the study of God's Word with Pastor Kerry Wacker. We'd love to have you join us in person for worship each Sunday morning at 9 a.m. or 10:45 a.m. We also meet Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. Warren Community Fellowship is located at 56523 Columbia River Highway in Warren, Oregon, between Scappoose and St. Helens. For more information about Warren Community Fellowship or about WCF Ministries, call us at 503-397-4387. And don't forget to like us on Facebook.